Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Human Rights Demand. We thank you for joining us today for the Strong Heart Warrior Society, and I'm sure that you will learn a lot and enjoy it. We ask you to call your friends, your neighbors, your online network, and let them know that Mr. Money is on the line now at Human Rights Demand on behalf of the Strong Heart Warrior Society. Hello, Mr. Money. How are you today? Okay. Hello, 0690. How are you today? 0690.
I'm all right every day. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm all right every day.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So you're not Mr. Money, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, why don't you go ahead and have a few words? I think that Mr. Money may have gotten cut off. He was on the line a few moments ago. So what is your name, if you'd like to give your first name, and tell us if whatever you want us to know today.
Okay, my name is T.A. Justice, and I'm just on here to listen right now.
Wonderful. Well, welcome, T.A. Justice. We are so glad for you to join us here on Human Rights Demand. Mr. Money gives our presentation every Wednesday. He is of the Lakota tribe, and he's a member of the Strong Heart Warrior Society. He talks to us in depth about the culture and history, as well as the current day challenges and victories that Native Americans, not just the Lakota people, but other peoples who are of Native American tribes, deal with. And he just gives awfully wonderful presentations. I'm going to see if I can get him on the line now. Why don't you talk to us about any human rights subject that you want to while I do that, okay?
Is Mary on here?
This is Mary Neal.
Oh, how you doing, Mary?
I'm doing
right
great.
Now,
I'm so glad you called in. You know what? Since you called in, I'm trying to put you to work because I need to reach Mr. Money and let him know that we are on the air. I think I was about 2 minutes late. He may have gotten disconnected. I want him to know that we're on the air so that he can come on board and give his host his show. And I wondered if you would mind talking to the audience about any human rights concern that you'd like while I get Mr. Money on the line.
Okay, right now I'm not able to talk about what I'm doing. But
well,
I feel
talk
that
about
anybody...
what I'm doing.
Okay.
Are you able to talk about what I'm doing?
What are you doing? You're doing so much though, Mary.
Well, that's good. So you just tell them about it, what I'm doing, okay? Because
all
I'm trying
is...
right now to give people a voice. Because that's one of the things that I was denied for a long time. I didn't have a voice, you know. And a lot of people, you know, who had newspapers and blog talk radio shows and what have you, I didn't really know how to connect with them and have a voice. And some of them that I did approach, they were not interested in giving me a voice because I was coming with too much truth, I believe. My main message was at that time that the Jenny Cochran firm is a fraud, and it continues to be a fraud. It is set up to defraud people of color throughout the nation, and it has been sued repeatedly by people who were defrauded by that law firm. It's been sued by its former attorneys and partners and other law firms, as well as by its former clients. It's been sued repeatedly, but most of those lawsuits never reach the public because unlike the case of Bishop Eddie Long, we all know about his lawsuit by the young man who said that he made sexual overtures toward them, or he even got involved in a sexual relationship with them that he had groomed them for while they were minors. As I understand it, he did not have sex with them while they were minors, but it was said that he groomed them for a sexual relationship with him while they were minors, and they sued him. I think 4 or 5 young men sued Bishop Long. I didn't just tell anybody new information because that was all over the television, all over the press. It was on every night. People were camping out in front of his front yard to question him. The media was on top of it. And we also recognize that when Tiger Woods had marital problems, he was accused of dating outside of his marriage. That was all over the moon. I mean, we all knew about Tiger Woods and his adulterous relationship. We all knew about that. We all know about Jesse Jackson's love child. We all know about Michael Jackson going on trial for child molestation. We generally are told everything derogatory that happens to someone, especially someone of color. We're told every derogatory thing about those individuals, whether it's been to court yet or not. We're told about it. But mainstream media will not tell you about the Johnny Cochran firm fraud. They will not tell you about the lawsuits, many lawsuits, not one or two, against that law firm for its fraud and malpractice. Deliberate fraud. They won't tell you how many times the law firm has been sued for racism. They won't tell you those things because the Jenny Cochran firm is helping individuals who are in government entities or major corporations. For instance, since this is the Native American show, I want you to know that the Jenny Cochran firm defrauded a group of Native Americans who live in New Jersey. They're known as the Ramapo people, R-A-M-A-P-O-U-G-H. The lawsuit that they were supposed to be representing for the Ramapo people was called Mann, M-A-N-N, versus Ford, F-O-R-D. That's Ford Motor Company. The firm was supposedly handling the Ramapo people's environmental racism lawsuit against Ford Motor Company. Ford Motor Company had been for about 40 years dumping paint sludge and other chemicals onto the Ramapo people's land. There were many deaths, especially of elderly people and children. There were many cancers, cases of influenza, and other diseases caused by the contamination. And this had gone on, as I said, for many years. At one point, Environmental Protection Agency got involved, and they tested the land and saw that it was contaminated. They tested the land and saw it was contaminated. And when they tested the land and saw it was contaminated, they put in an order that Ford had to clean up the land. And they gave Ford 10 years to clean up the paint contamination and the other chemicals that were on the Ramapo people's land. They had 10 years to do it. But 13 years later, Ford had not done anything to clean up the Ramapo people's land. And the Ramapo people were continuing to get sick and die. At that point, Mr. Mann, representing the Ramapo people, went to the Cochran firm to sue Ford Motor Company. And they did indeed sue. However, they appointed this law case representing the Ramapo people, who were hundreds of individuals. They appointed it to a lovely associate in the Jackson, Mississippi office. Now, the Ramapo people are in New Jersey, but they appointed the lawyer in the Jackson, Mississippi office. And she was young. She was an associate. Now, according to the Cochran firm's own estimation, this lawsuit was worth between $2 and $3 billion, billion with a B. There had been so many deaths. There was so much contamination of the land and stream. And it was going to take so much money to clean it up, as well as to take care of doctors' visits for all the people who have cancer and other chronic conditions, as well as those who had died wrongful deaths. So the lawsuit was estimated at being worth $3 billion, with a B, dollars. And it was given to this young lady, an associate in the Jackson, Mississippi office, to handle. Her name was Vicki Gilliam. Now, I guess the supposition was that a young associate wouldn't do well with this lawsuit, because it's my, I've worked in law firms for about 15 years, and it's my understanding that law firms, big law firms, don't give cases worth $3 billion to a young associate like the Cochran firm did. But Vicki Gilliam did an excellent job as the lead attorney on this case. As a matter of fact, in a short amount of time, she had brought the case fully around to the point where Ford Motor Company could either settle or go to court. This woman fought, and she had documented everything, and she had depositions, and she had testimony and evidence, and there was nothing more to do but take this case to court or accept a settlement from Ford Motor Company. However, when she got the case to that point, she was suddenly taken off the case by the Jenny Cochran firm, and the case was transferred to their Dothan, Alabama office. That's where their partners are. Their racist partners are in Dothan, Alabama. The case went to Dothan, Alabama, and Vicki Gilliam was taken off the case. And then the Ramapo people, who are Native Americans, it's a Native American mixed with Africans. Okay, so the case was taken to the Dothan, Alabama office, and those rowdy racist partners settled that case that was worth $3 billion for only $12.5 million. There have been single incidents where an individual was treated wrong, and that individual got $15.5 million. Here they are selling the case with all of these wrongful deaths over 40 years' time, all of the cancers that still exist among the Ramapo people, all of this was settled for $12.5 million by the dirty, racist Cochran firm lawyers in the Mann versus Ford case. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why the media will not tell you about the Cochran firm fraud, because this law firm saves the corporate entities in America billions per year, billions, from the lawsuits, the rightful judgments that should go to its clients, who are mostly black and brown and red people. Again, I ask you to look up the Jenny Cochran firm defrauds the Ramapo people, R-A-M-A-P-O-U-G-H. That's a Native American tribe in New Jersey. Look also for Ramapo people Mary Neal. My name is Mary Neal, and I write about the Jenny Cochran firm fraud, which is nationwide. Is this Mr. Monty? Are you here? 1547? Okay, would
Hello?
You like to say something, 1547? Hello, how are you?
This is,
Mr. Monty?
Yes, he is.
Hey there, how are you, Mr. Monty? Listen, we've been waiting for you, and you go right ahead. I want the audience to know that Mr. Monty is here with you. And Mr. Monty, while we were waiting for you, I told them about one of the Jenny Cochran firm frauds, and that one happens to be against Native Americans. They defrauded the Ramapo people when they were due $3 billion with a B. The Cochran firm got rid of their attorney, they had been assigned, and settled their case for $12.5 million with an M because they don't want to see red people, black people, and brown people with $3 billion. So you go right ahead, Mr. Money, and take it from here.
All righty. Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's a bit honored to get back on today's show again. And I've been, you know, constantly in the light of struggle because of the same type of criteria that Ms. O'Neill been addressing earlier to the circumstances that we are all involved in. But nonetheless, we must keep in mind that the realities of how we face the dilemmas is the dilemmas are more or less the type of things that people are afraid to address, bring, you know, to public attention, and yet alone outline the situations that befall us here in this country that was once a state, yet alone to understand it as a free nation. Now, before I get off into a lot of the, you know, strongful inquiries that we've been subjugating and trying to bring an understanding to, you know, the international communities, I wanted to take a chance to look at how we are still facing the type of circumstances that befall us as a free people. Now, over the years, a majority of our people have tried to bring about some positive change to meet the levels that would give us the ability to assert our sovereignty or independence. And nonetheless, we are never, ever taking that type of initiative. Now, I do know that on the 21st and 22nd of June, 2014, again, the 22nd and the 21st of June, 2014, that there is an international seminar going on down in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at the Encino Gardens resort or retreat, and all Native people are invited to attend. Now, I think a lot of the issues that are at hand is how the U.S. Department of Justice and the U.S. penal systems, the education system, and also how the United Nations Convention and, you know, on the prevention of the crime of genocide, all these understandings are going to be brought forth to a forefront, because we all know that the Haudenosaunee Nation up there in upstate New York and Canada had really came out with a strong, you know, indication about how the Crown, you know, was using systematically abuse control to decipher the decision making with, you know, the territorial people that reside in grandmother's land up in Canada. And so, you know, these are the type of issues that we want to, you know, take a note to really bring back into the public realm. And that note is to understand where we're going with all these, because, you know, a lot of times people always want to talk about certain grievances on certain grounds. Well, we, the Lakota people, we have challenged a lot of things throughout the course of history, even in a modern pretext. And before I go on, I want to say, you know, when you look at the injustices, death of this young man that was a Southern Arapaho descendant from the Good Blanket family, this young man that was brutally shot and murdered in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at the hands of the police department, and then that Latino grandmother, her and her grandson, that were brutally murdered back in January 2014. I think the lady's name was Raylene. Raylene and Fabian was the baby. They were found murdered. And then there was the Indian brother that was killed up in Rapid City. I want people to understand that this fight for bringing about justice for what happened to these five individuals, it goes to show that this type of mechanism, at the brutality of how America's, you know, eccentric bipolar disorder affects people, will brutally take the lives of innocent people, not knowing why they are subjugated to that type of injustice. And so, you know, for the listening audience, you know, we want to take that kind of opportunity today to talk about, you know, these things that are befalling us. And once again, my heart goes out to Raylene, Fabian, for their loss, and then the Good Blanket family for their loss of their young man, and then that homeless man that was shot and murdered in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and then in Rapid City, South Dakota. My heart goes out to those families of their loss, and, you know, I still support the criteria of trying to keep this information, you know, at the forefront so it doesn't get fallen on deaf ears. And a lot of times, you know, when the measures of law enforcement meet these criteria, they always say that, you know, it's a justified case, and so we no longer can inform the public about, you know, why these lives were taken so, you know, barbarically, and, you know, the innocents, you know, continue to say that it was a wrongful act and justifying it with the true intent that they had the right to take the lives of these five individuals. And so my heart still goes out to them. As you can hear again, I'm very, you know, unbalanced. I mean, there's so much stuff going on out here in Indian country. It's difficult for me to try to find balance. You know, my people are playing with spirituality. They got so many sun dances going on in the spiritual, you know, realm to it. We're failing our purpose to understand our own fairness and balance. And when that type of understanding becomes prevalent enough to see, when I was out in California, I seen how these people were abusing our traditional practices. I mean, a lot of nations in this country of ours, known as Turtle Island, are adapting the Lakota's culture because they have none, and they always say they have it. Well, show me. Show me you have your own culture, and I'll respect you, and I'll continue to honor you and stand with you in your struggles. But when you abuse a culture like mine and you say, it's okay to do this. No, you never asked me if it was okay. You never asked my people. Just because some medicine man or whoever the individual goes outside my reservation and incorporates himself with you and whoever has money, that doesn't give you the right to say that that individual spoke for everyone else to give you the right of way to secure this type of provision. That provision belongs to me and mine. And this is why we could never come together. We're always divided. And so I just want to put that noted understanding out there, because anymore the Sundance isn't a Sundance. There's nothing real spiritual about it because our people are abusing it. You've got so much white people involved in it, dancing and, you know, playing this game in spiritualism. The white man lost his spirituality. Come on, folks. Do the math. They had it, but they destroyed it. They killed the guy that was their spiritual leader. In American terms, they called him Jesus. And they killed him, and they took that spirituality away from him. So now they have no means to reconnect with themselves in their own spiritual quest for their own freedom. And now they look to people of color to try to get theirs. And you know what happens when a white man sees our identity in our own spiritual custom? He's going to find a way to make money off it. And that's what he does. And there's so many instant Indians that I saw when I was out in California. And they all claim to be Indian. Oh, wow. Many feathers gave me this, and they give up some phony name. I beg to differ. So I wanted to put that out there. Now I'm going to get real heavy into justifying everything where we need to go, because I am sick and tired of how America practices and perfects colonial policies against people of color. And we're all under that matrix system, okay? Irregardless, if you want to understand how the Eurocentric, you know, behavior becomes prevalent enough to define people of color, no person of color should have to submit to the white man's golden rule. And if that sounds offensive to most people, then hey, so be it. And I'm using these terms not to be disrespectful to anyone. What I'm trying to do is prevent you from picking up the reality that you're living in and claiming it as your own. You need to find peace of mind. You need to find spiritual balance. And most of all, you need to find the love to connect yourself with the existing fact that you are a human being. Now, America thinks you less. When America thinks you less as a human being, what does that tell you? You're less than an animal. And this is why he continues to use the Eurocentric, bipolar, barbaric mentality to destroy you within and without. And so I thought I would get into this whole proverb of this understanding, because when I look at the violations, you know, especially, you know, when you look at the Treaty of 1868 and you look at United States Constitution Article 6, now the U.S. is in violation of that Article 6 of the United States Constitution, that declaration that all laws made in pursuance of the United States Constitution and all treaties made under the authority of the United States are to be the supreme law of the land, okay? And we're supposed to enjoy the legal superiority over any conflict of or any type of provision of a state. And this is a constitution or the law that's, you know, resulting in an ongoing quest of genocidal ethnic cleansing. Now, the Lakota people and many other nations have outlined an understanding that we wanted to be, you know, forcibly heard into the eyes of the American court system. The U.S. Department of Justice, and throughout the course of history, has denied a majority of our people to their own capability of enforcing their freedoms through independence. Now, over the years, a majority of people have done that. I, and I'm going to use that term, I, as in a result of how America gives you that. I have to be the one to pave the way for you, young man. Well, that I term is irrelevant to the purpose of how we never, ever took on the assimilation policies of the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934. So in regards to how America administers the colonial policies, U.S. is in violation of the UN Genocide Declaration. And so how do we try to seek justice with that? Well, if you can understand that back in 2007, the late Russell Means and myself had unilaterally withdrew from this country because we were sick and tired of being subjugated to colonial abuse. We weren't being protected when laws that govern us to protect us were not being enforced. For example, when you're depriving the Lakota people and many other Native nations, or even the African descendants, or even the Asian descendants, let alone our brothers and sisters in Mexico, when you're, you know, disregarding their, you know, understanding of existence, depriving the Lakota people and many Native nations the right to govern their own affairs and jurisdiction, which is forced participation within them. You disregard that because it's an inherent natural law that gives us the capability to continue to protect and save our tradition through a cultural system. That's the custom. That's how, again, this type of formality is resulting into a genocidal practice. And we cite that as examples of how America practices and perfects colonial policies against people of color. And when they do that in my country, and when they fail them, they take those failings of those colonial policies and they expedite them and exercise them outside my waters. And when they fail outside my waters to other nation countries, when our nation countries reject these colonial policies, they bring them back into my country and they enforce them upon you, the American citizens. And what does that tell you? It tells you that America has become one big fucking Indian reservation. I'm getting sick and tired of our people talking a good game, but never ever taking the fight to them. And it's simple. If you can read, you can comprehend. If you can understand, you can talk. And this is how we are failing ourselves. Now, America is vested about a comfort zone. Now, if you're so realistically intoned to the American system and you're getting by because he comforts you through alcohol, drugs, chemical dependencies, through pharmaceuticals, and you're so relaxed that your brain cannot function normal even under the influence of tobacco or any type of over-the-counter drug system, and you're so relaxed and you can't do a damn thing when the fight comes to you, and you're so used to that comfort, then shut the fuck up and don't say a damn word about what is going on, because there are a majority of us that are trying to change it so you can have a better future, so our generations that are coming can have a better future, so they don't have to be exposed to this type of dilemma. We had a hailstorm that came in Rapid City, South Dakota, a couple nights ago, trashed a lot of homes on the reservation, broke out multitudes of car windows. And the state troopers stopped the young family from utilizing their vehicle to get back to the reservation in that storm because they brought their child to a facility to get medical treatment to straighten her teeth by putting braces on. The reservation's health care system is broken. There is nothing that gives them professional, adequate health care. What does that tell you? So we have to seek it outside. Then again, the current tribal president, Brian Brewer, turned around and made a bond without the people's intention of voting or even vetoing this decision. He illegally made a bond with the state of South Dakota in the amount of $1 billion to give up some more of our sovereignty through passage of our highways to come through and create a national park. When you open up that type of jurisdiction to the state has never, ever been a truthful entity to serve Indian people. They are enemies of us. That man is a dictator. He is a replica of the late Dick Wilson that created, you know, history's aftermath of destruction. And again, our people are comfortable following drugs and alcohol, serve the purpose of that man. And our people are out in a stronghold, building up camp, trying to fight that XL pipeline. Hey, the president already signed it into effect. So what's the purpose to, you know, build a camp for? That's just to throw the seeds. When your brain is uncomfortable and your brain cannot allow the heart to control it, then there is not anything you can do to stand up to that goes on in this day and age in 2014. The country knows this. And he knows that you don't pose a threat to him. And this is how he continues to assert his power of control. So needless to say, the implementation of that eurocentric behavior still exists in 2014 because you have not learned anything from your history. Now, if the great mystery said, Chinupa, you go out there and plant acres and acres of marijuana and you smoke it, he would have told me that, to do that. When I was in Wounded Knee in 1973, during the time when we took arms up against the federal government, I went in there alcohol and drug free because I was fighting about the abuse, how the system was killing my people. Scores of young kids were being tormented by the Catholic, you know, a priest and all these Jesuits molesting these little boys and girls. And even in our education system, these teachers were raping our little children. I seen this. I lived it. And this is why I took up arms to help our people fight that, to bring about this change. And do you think our people are still justifying that? No, the image they say is, oh, I was born an AIM baby. Well, to me, if you were born an AIM baby, that was recreational pleasure that they gave you to be born. That's not a real structure of fighting and showing the system that you gave a damn about how it was destroying your people. Shit, I was in that, so I know what the hell I'm saying. If that is offensive to people, hey, I'm not, as I said it before, I'm not doing that to be disrespectful, but this truth has to go out there. I'm sick and tired of all these things that are happening, and nobody gives a damn about it. Nobody cares. This is why I'm so angry and frustrated, and I'm cursing because maybe that's the only language I have to use to get through to you, because obviously when we did it in a calm, you know, compassion, you still couldn't get it and show the support when it's needed. Now, I'm not going to rest my case for determining these infractions of where we're going. But I will say this, the reality of how we are supposed to prepare a positive virtue for our future generations to come, how many have continued to share the purpose of recognizing their own existence in spirituality as oneself? I'll tell you, none. Why? Because they forgot that too. People don't know love anymore. A real prime example. You see the elites. You see the Bilderbergs. You see the shadow governments. You see all these things taking power of its control to implement that change of capitalistic control to decipher through jobs, structured government, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. Okay, it's a realistic, you know, power of control by the whole, you know, concept of why we are, you know, in a common warfare with the system. So a real, you know, unhealthy political war being waged against us, but yet we can't pay attention to the whole understanding of it. Now, our people are getting sent to prisons at an alarming rate. Our children, again, are getting removed from their homes in an alarming rate. And each time we try to benefit the purpose of standing up to this corruption, our own people stop us. Our own people become our worst enemy because they side with the system. The system does not give a damn about you. Congress don't give a damn about you. America doesn't give a damn about you. But the nations do. The nations that once and that are still are fighting for that freedom are the only ones that give a damn about you, because they feel your pain, they know your love, they understand that sorrow and conviction that you are still devoted with because you want to be free and left alone. But the white man will never give you that. That son of a bitch is about power and controlling people. That's how he destroys individuals, from a child corrupt to the adult. He takes everything he can from you. And the sad thing, you allow that to happen. That's the sad thing. You allow white think to implement that power of control. And so, needless to say, I try my best to implement this change in good standing. And so, again, I try so hard trying to make the difference in changing this understanding, because for me, I am tired of looking at my people suffer without no means to connect to the entrance that it began. It's a racist and most hateful insinuation that the American people can ever enforce upon people of color. And my thanks go out to people like Dr. Ed Maloney and my girlfriend, Antoinette Marie, my net Marie, for being in our corner, and many others, David Clark, Stephen Muse, Nancy Fleming, a majority of these people, even the Grant Graves, for giving me a home. Listening audience, I was given a mobile home out of Eagle, Colorado. And you all know I had my home removed from me at the hands of the tribal government and the federal government. I have no home. And so this man was kind enough to give me a 30-foot, 31-foot trailer, mobile home, a two-bedroom. And yet I cannot find nobody to help me tow it back. I don't have any funding to make it. I have artwork that I try to put on display to raise money for it. Since I've just came in contact with Mr. Graves, I've been trying to do my best to get that trailer brought home. And unfortunately, nobody can, because you're giving your money to all these things that don't believe in the real fight. I'm an alcohol and drug-free warrior. I'm still serving the purpose. I still bring food and help our people on the reservations. I continue to serve that need. And everybody else is so comfortable because they're under the influence of a controlled substance, whether it's marijuana or alcohol, and that's what you're supporting. You're paying homage to that. But when real people like myself are doing the real thing, remember, you play the blame game. You blame me for everything. You cut me down for everything. You put my name in a category where it don't belong. You call me everything in the book. You call me a rapist. You call me a fucking child molester. You call me an elder beater. You call me everything in the book that the eurocentric man wants to describe a person of. You call me a snitch. You call me everything. Okay, I take it. I'm all of that, if that's the way you feel. But remember, you have yet to prove that to me. And you can't. Because I prove it every fucking day. And for all you people that every time you want my help, I serve you, you deny me that. Because every time when I start moving in that direction, you people put your roadblocks up. And you stop me from coming in. This is why the system that controls you from understanding what needs to go outside. And if it wasn't for people like Mary Neal and many others that had the assertion to give Strongheart that ability to enforce this type of mechanism, I wouldn't be on this show today. And it takes people with that type of courage and conviction of devotion to give a warrior society a chance to address these issues and prepare a better place in the future for our generation to come. If people in the listening audience have an opportunity to bring questions towards me, you can take a chance and call in at that number, 347-857-3293. Once again, 347-857-3293. And give us an understanding of how you feel about the current situation that we are involved in. And I will ascertain them questions as best as I can. If you're there, I would like you to kind of take it into a break, or if there's something that you need to share with the majority of the audience, feel free to do so. I still want to take this, you know, opportunity to get busy with all this stuff. And I try so hard, again, to try to repeat these understandings in good faith, but unfortunately, it runs into a predicament. And I don't know how much time it has given us, but I think Mary did tell me one time that we had a full-fledged 2 hours to do so, so I will meet them as best as I can.
Well, Mr. Nani, thank you so much for coming on the air. I don't think I lengthened this particular episode, so we may be going off the air shortly. However, I do appreciate your coming on, and I do hope that you managed to get your trailer pulled home. I'm so glad, and I want to say thank you to the man who gifted that to you. And we do stand with you, sir, 100%. We stand with oppressed people in America, throughout the nation, whether they are black, white, red, Asian, no matter what race you are, if you're an oppressed person, the human rights demand is here for you. We make a demand for human rights like Frederick Douglass said. He said, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. Therefore, we meet here at 3 p.m. on Wednesdays to offer Native Americans an opportunity to make a human rights demand. We meet here on Thursday, that's tomorrow, when Bob Darby makes a human rights demand on behalf of the homeless mentally ill. We meet here on Monday at 3 p.m. when Leona Brando makes a human rights demand on behalf of American prisoners. We meet here on Friday at 6:30 p.m. when Jenny Strozier makes a human rights demand on behalf of released prisoners so that they will have good reentry opportunities. We meet here on Saturday for Release the Innocent, when we make a human rights demand for people who are innocent and wrongfully convicted, either because they were innocent, actually innocent, or because they were wrongly convicted because they were mentally ill and unable to recognize whatever they did as being wrong. And we make a human rights demand some Sundays, and it is called Human Rights for Prisoners March. And so I want to thank you, sir, for making a human rights demand on behalf of all people, but especially our Native American brothers and sisters here every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The times I call out to you are Eastern Standard or Eastern Daylight Time, and that is 3 p.m. Sunday through Thursday. Friday is 6:30 p.m., and then Saturday is back to 3 p.m. Mr. Strozier's show is at 6:30 p.m. on Fridays because he was released from prison after 46 years, 15 of them in solitary confinement, and he wants to talk to the audience about reentry opportunities for people who are returning to society. He likes to talk to people who have never been to prison about how important it is to avoid behavior that could lead to prison. And he likes to talk to our young people especially about that. And he takes personal responsibility for the behavior that led to his lengthy imprisonment. And I want you to listen on Friday at 6:30 to Mr. Jenny T. Strozier. And that's what I have to say. You can go online at Google and Google Human Rights Demand, Blog Talk Radio Schedule. And if you Google that, Human Rights Demand, Blog Talk Radio Schedule, you will see our lineup of programs. And we want to thank you again, Mr. Shanupa Money, for being our Wednesday host. And we ask you to please invite more of your friends, whether they're Native American or other oppressed people, so that they can join us here on Human Rights Demand every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Do you have something else you wish to say to us, sir?
Yes, I do have this, that, you know, do keep in mind that, you know, I've done so much to help our people, and, you know, getting this mobile home is an issue. And even if, you know, whatever you can send, you know, would be fine. You know, you can send it to Post Office Box 512, Hill City, South Dakota. That's H-I-L City, C-I-T-Y, South Dakota, S-O-U-T-H-D-A-K-O-T-A, zip code 57745. And, you know, help me get this trailer. I got a deadline by July 4th to get that trailer home or I lose out. And I don't have the financial...
How much money are you looking for, Mr. Shanupa?
I'm trying to raise $615 exact.
Okay. So you heard that, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Shanupa Money needs roughly $615 to move his trailer home. He will give you the address once more to send your donations. Go ahead, Mr. Money.
Yeah. Address is Post Office Box 512, that's Hill City, South Dakota, 57745. Once again, Post Office Box 512, Hill City, South Dakota 57745, in care of Colonel Pabluha Money of the Strong Art Warrior Society. And this home needs to get back to South Dakota where I could finally, man, have a place of refuge and take care of a lot of the things that I need to also improve myself and help myself. And Mary, I thank you for allowing us to come on today. And it's been a hectic, you know, past week dealing with all this stuff. And thanks to my girlfriend, Annette Marie, for being in my corner, and my son and many others, you know, that's been on the board. As I said earlier, all this help that's been a great appreciative from Dr. Ed Maloney and Jamie Moran and Stephen Muth and David Clark. These are people that have been in our corner. Even Thomas Rogers, man, you know, and yourself, Mary. You've been an inspiration of helping us get all this out. And Mr. Grant Graves, bear with me. I'll try to get the funding to get the trailer. And so, you know, with that, I want to say thank you for allowing us to come back on. And I will try to make it more professional, stronger next week's show on Wednesday. You all have a good day. Okay.
Well, thank you, Mr. Money. And we always enjoy your shows. We learn a great deal. And you're always very professional, sir. And we so much appreciate you. We appreciate the Strong Heart Warrior Society. We appreciate our Native American brothers and sisters throughout the nation. No matter what your nation is, we appreciate you. God bless you. Good day.
Oh.